Today is the last day of summer. We're hoping it'll begin to feel like fall, like autumn, very soon, and cooler weather will come. But as I was thinking about the last day of summer, I was thinking of a scripture in the Bible that uses that idea of the harvest is past, the summer is ended. And I found that in Jeremiah chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, you could take it and turn there to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, to chapter 8. Also, we'll have the scriptures on the screen in case you want to look at it there. This coming Thursday at Ouachita, they're having a pastor's conference, and I hope I can go. I always get so much out of it when I go. Every year, they study a different book of the Bible, and professors at Ouachita teach different parts of that book all during the day. Plus, they have a wonderful meal at noontime as well. But there are always hundreds and hundreds of preachers and laymen as well from across Arkansas and around other areas who go to Ouachita, and that'll be this coming Thursday for the pastor's conference. And we'll be studying the book of Jeremiah, and I know we'll be starting at Jeremiah chapter 1, but today I want us to look in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament days. And he was a man that was so much like Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came on the scene, he asked the people, "Who do you all think I am?" And the people answered and said, "Well, some say you're Isaiah, and some say you're Jeremiah." In other words, Jesus was so much like what they knew Jeremiah to be like. Some of them actually said, "That must be Jeremiah who's come back from the dead." But in Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 4, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return." That word backslidden, perpetual backsliding. You may think of yourself today as a backslider. That's a term that we've used for hundreds and hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, thousands of years, because this was written about 900 years before Jesus was born. And he was born 2,000 years ago, so nearly 3,000 years ago. And they were using the term backsliding. And so if you were to say to me, "Brother David, I feel like a backslider," what would you be telling me? Well, you'd be telling me that you feel like that you are a Christian, first of all, that at some time you walked pretty close to the Lord, but you have backslidden, you've slid back, and therefore you're not like you used to be, you're not where you ought to be, and you feel somewhat guilty about that. Well, that's what a backslider is. And some of you all may feel today that as you're here on Sunday morning, you're a backslider and something needs to happen in your life to get right with God. We see what Jeremiah was talking about here was to the nation of Israel. They were God's people, God's chosen people. There were enemies all around Israel. The Babylonians were there. And they were just about to come and take over the country. The nation, even though they were God's chosen people, had backslidden. They had gotten away from God. And the Lord is using Jeremiah to try to call them back to repentance. And so Jeremiah, he's really a weeping prophet. As a matter of fact, we'll find that later on. "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slid back by perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spoke not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle. Or the stork up in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Jeremiah says, the birds of the air, the stork and the crane and the horse, and they all know their place. But my people do not know the law of the Lord. He's saying the animals are smarter than you people are. They know their place and they know where their help comes from, and God is their helper. And Jeremiah says, you all are worse than a bunch of dumb horses or dumb cows or dumb storks or dumb turtles or whatever other birds there may be. They know, but my people do not know the law of the Lord. How do you say, we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Does that not sound like something that we're facing even in America? I saw a sign when I came out of Nashville this morning. Somebody bought a great big sign out there by York Gary across from there, and it said, we like Trump. Keep America great. Keep America great. And it was bought, placed there by folks who like our president and believe in the way that we're going as a country. I think what the thing that is so troubling for all of us, we feel our nation maybe once was closer to God, maybe even in our lifetime, and now she is drifting far away from God. I believe that's true. Most of you believe that's true. How many believe that's true? Say amen. What you going to do about it? Oh me? That's right. Oh me. Amen. Oh, forgive us, God. Well, this is what was happening here. The wise men thought they were wise. Turn on your television set. Look on your internet. Look at all that sort of thing. And you'll find wise people everywhere who know so much more about the right way to do things than we have always known how to do them. We're living in a dark day. We're living in a troublesome era. We're living in a day when wise men are ashamed, they're dismayed, they're taken, they have rejected the word of the Lord, what wisdom is in them. We've got people running for president or wanting to run for president, particularly on the Democratic side, it seems, and they think they're Christians and they think they're wise, and they're a whole lot more wise than we are, because after all, they believe in doing things that we have always known were sinful things to do. Therefore, verse 10, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given over to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest. My goodness, prophets and priests. We read in the paper almost every week about some prophet or some preacher or some priest or someone that does some terrible thing, some evil thing in the world. And so they were doing it in these days. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. Can't even depend on the preacher. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they not ashamed when they committed abominations? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their judgment, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah is one who loved his country so much. He loved his people so much. And he was so brokenhearted at the way they were living, at the way they had rejected God, at the laws they had passed, the laws they did not keep. And he said, are they ashamed? No, they're not ashamed. Neither do they blush. We watch television, we look at the internet, we read books and we read the papers, and we find people that are promoting things these days with no shame, no blushing, you see, all of those things that we see all around us all the time. And the Lord says, I surely will consume them. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. The leaf shall fade. The things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves. Let us enter into the fortified cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, there was trouble. Verse 16. The snorting of the horses was heard clear up from the country, the city of Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of the strong horses. They're come, they have devoured the land, all that is in them, the city, those that dwell in it. You see, even today as America, we're being threatened by a country called Iran. We are joining together some with Saudi Arabia, even as I speak. And we wonder about what's going to happen in the next year, in the next few years. Will there be a nuclear war? Will a nation like Iran, that is really a Muslim nation, will they come and bomb our country? Will we have enough soldiers to defend ourselves? Will we be strong enough to defend ourselves? This is what the Israelites thought. They thought, we're God's chosen people, and we can stand up against any enemy. And Jeremiah saying to them, you think you can stand up against the enemy, but you've got another think a-coming. You will not be able to stand because you're a sinful, evil, and wicked nation, even though you're God's people. And I'm saying this as a preacher to a small congregation today. You see, we may think we're strong, and we got all this money and all this military might, but if the day comes because of our sins, God sends judgment, he might use a nation like Iran or some other nation to judge America. You may say, well, Brother Dave, that won't ever happen. You must not have read your Bible very good. If you've read the Old Testament, you will know that God's chosen people were often judged because they got into such terrible sin. And they were God's people, God's chosen people. He had delivered them. He loved them. But they were become a sinful people. And God allowed Assyria to come at one point. He allowed Babylon to come at another point, and other nations around them. And can it be that we're better than they are in the Old Testament? No, God could use a nation that we do not even think about to bring judgment upon our nation. And I really believe that that's true. And I think most of us fear because of that. We realize that unless we turn from our wicked ways, turn to the Lord, unless we repent of our sins, what happened to Israel could happen to America. It's kind of quiet in here because we don't even want our little children listening to this. Even our little children all over the world are paying more attention to some problems than our grown-ups. I noticed this weekend there are millions of children marching all over the world. They're so concerned about climate change. They've been hearing the elders and the scientists and their folks and all that talking about it. And the children are getting so upset and they're taking to the streets all over the world this weekend, this very day. And the children are saying, You grown-ups do something. You grown-ups do something to help our planet. You grown-ups do something to help our country. And the grown-ups are saying, well, we've been thinking about it a long time. And the children are all saying, but you're not doing anything about it. And so that's exactly what was taking place in this day. I thought this morning, sometimes children know better than adults what needs to be done. Amen. And I don't know about all of the politics of all of that, but I see these young people concerned about the nation, and they should be concerned about it. We oftentimes have had revivals among the Christians, and it's usually started among the young people. Look back in our history, and the revival movements in the country started with the young people. I remember during the Jesus movement, I thought that was one of the most glorious times of revival back there in the 60s and early 70s, I guess. And it was mostly a youth movement. They were taking to the world and the streets and saying, turn to God, turn to God, make Jesus the Lord. The young people were seeing what needs to be done. And here in this place, why do we sit still? He says, I will consume them, saith the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine. There will not be figs on the fig tree. Which is fine with me. I don't like figs anyway. There shall be no grapes on the vine. I do like grapes. Nor figs on the fig tree. The leaf shall fade. The things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Jeremiah says. Assemble yourselves. Let us enter into the fortified cities and let us be silent. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence. He has given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. That is the reason. We looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, nothing but trouble. The snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come, they have devoured the land. This is armies you see coming. And in those days they were on horses, and they had chariots and horses and so forth. And behold, I will send serpents, snakes among you, which will not be charmed. They will bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of those who dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked to anger with their carved images and their foreign vanities? The harvest is past. There's our text. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. This is one of the saddest statements in all the Bible. What does it say? And we are not saved. Let's read that together. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black with sorrow and trouble, says it's discolored my face because of my sorrow. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Here's a song that a balm in Gilead. Someone said the balm in Gilead was something that was very precious in those days, and it was kind of like aloe vera. Is that how you pronounce it? Aloe vera. That's what it was. The balm of Gilead was this wonderful ointment, and they used it for so many things. And it was like aloe vera. That's what you could compare it to today. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine? Is there no cure? Is there no doctor there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And in chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he cried and wept. He was sorrowful. He had been called by God. As a matter of fact, you would find in Jeremiah chapter 1 that the Lord actually called him to be a prophet before he was born. That's what it says in the first chapter of Jeremiah, that he went out and preached and prophesied unto the people, but his head was like waters. Now, why did they think Jesus was kind of like Jeremiah? You remember that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, whom do men say that I am? And some said, well, you're like Isaiah and you're like Jeremiah. Did Jesus cry over lost people? He indeed did. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, again in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, there was a time when Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he began to weep. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers little chickens under her wings for safety, but you would not. It was not that they could not. Jesus said they would not. They had the truth. They knew what they ought to do, and they refused to believe in Jesus Christ. So I've been thinking about this. Why were these people not saved? Three or four ideas. Number one, Israel, the people of God, had looked to the wrong solution. They expected Egypt to save them or some other nation to save them. That's really what they did. And for you and for me, if we think to solve the problems of America will only be a political solution, we're wrong. Now, I realize there are political solutions. There are needs for changes in offices and things like that, and for people to stand up and be counted. But I believe most of us, as Christians believe, it goes deeper than that. And it wouldn't matter who you elect as the next president. If America stays in sin, if we stay away from God, if we continue on the path that we're taking in so many areas of our life, it doesn't matter who the leader of the country is going to be, they won't be able to save us or to make a difference. I believe that's really true. I know that sounds hard. It sounds harsh. We don't even want our younger people to hear that too much, but I believe it's true. Israel was looking to Egypt. They thought, we'll have salvation from a stronger army. So Babylon's coming. We'll just get stronger and align ourselves with Egypt, and we'll see we can conquer the Babylonians. But they couldn't. And they finally, Babylon came, destroyed Jerusalem, sacked the city, destroyed the people. It was a terrible, terrible loss. Number two, they prided themselves upon outward privilege. You see in verse 19 of chapter 8, they were saying, chapter 7, if you go back there. They were saying they were children of God. We're God's chosen people. Nothing bad can happen to us. The third place, with all their boasting as to God being with them, they continued to provoke the Lord. It says down there in verse 19 of chapter 8, behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because those who dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Why have they provoked me to anger with their idols and their idol worship? You see, these people actually thought that being saved physically was the main thing. And I realize there are those young people marching all over the world today calling for doing something about climate change, and they're worried about that. And there are needs for us to care about all the things that are being noticed today. And yet it's a spiritual problem. That's what my whole point is, isn't it? The whole point is that as Christians, we need to let judgment begin in the house of God. And that means right here among us. And we need to get burdened for our sins. We need to get so burdened that we're going to do something about it. And we began to confess our sins. As it says in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their lands. I believe the Lord says that to us today. We are coming up on an election in our country. Most all of us are so concerned about what's going to take place in the days to come. And we ought to be concerned about it. And we ought to do all that we can in the political area to make all the difference that we can. But we also need to recognize, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so as husbands and wives and as children, we need to begin to stand up and we need to begin to recognize our responsibility and take the leadership and say, I don't know what all the world out there is going to do, but as for me and my house, I know what I'm going to do and what my house is going to do. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know all about us today. You know all about our needs, and we are so concerned about our nation, about our country, about all the nations of the world, really. Father, we know that you have been with us in the past, and we believe that you're with us now. But we also know there are many things that are sinful and wicked and evil and wrong in our country. Maybe in our own families, in our own homes, maybe in our own church. And Lord, we just pray that you will convict us by your Spirit and that we will have the concern and interest in turning to you in forgiveness of sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.